This quarter has been about our influence, a Christian's influence throughout the world. And we've looked at it in each different teacher has taken a different approach, looking at it in different segments. In the beginning of this quarter, it had to do with different places, the workplace, the family, and so forth, and the kind of influence. The last 2 weeks, and then this week, have to do with scriptural concepts that Jesus taught about our influence. Last 2 weeks we had where Jesus told his disciples early in his ministry, he says, "You are salt, you are light." And Richard and Willie did great jobs with those. Jesus, when you look at him, and I don't know how many, when I look at him as a teacher, I mean, he is the master teacher. That's what he is referred to as. And when you look at the way he teaches and the manner and how he uses everyday simple things to get points across to people in his day and age, and how those same simple concepts are so easy for us to grasp today, he deserves the title as the master teacher. And what we can learn from him is fantastic. Now, later on in Jesus' ministry, what was the primary format that Jesus taught in, to make it simple? What did he use? Parables. And what's the definition of a parable? Earthly story with a heavenly meaning. That's the standard one we come up with. It's like telling a story with physical, earthly concepts, but it has a spiritual content and application. Now, in Matthew chapter 13, you want to take a single chapter and find a whole bunch of parables, it's Matthew 13. They're not real long parables. They're hit. I mean, Jesus saying, another parable is this, another parable is this. Matthew chapter 13, he mentions something. Starting with verse 33. Another parable he spoke to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was all leavened. All these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables, and without a parable he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things kept secret from the foundation in the world." I guess as much as I've studied, but I never thought about this concept in this scripture here. Jesus taught in parables based upon prophecy. He was prophesied to do so. And it was interesting to see this scripture that said, and without a parable, he did not speak to them. It was a standard way that he taught. Now, this parable here is not a long one. It is a one-verse parable. But it's a common-sense one. It's one perhaps that might need to be translated to some degree to today's concept. How many of you ever use leaven in your cooking today? I'm not talking yeast, I'm talking leaven. Okay, not very many. It's not a concept that's used. It was more in the olden days. Nowadays, it's been replaced with yeast, which is used most of the time. And what happens if you're trying to make bread and you don't put that stuff in there? It's flat as can be. It doesn't get anywhere. Do you understand? Man, I'm a chemist. When I was in high school, I loved chemistry. And I looked some of this stuff up to understand. It's a chemical reaction that takes place with this leaven, or the way we think, yeast, which causes fermentation. But the leaven comes in there and it creates a chemical reaction. It actually the word leaven comes from a Greek word that means to boil. It causes a reaction that causes bubbling. It creates CO2, carbon dioxide gas, in the substance. So it causes it to, and it's not rising because it's not increasing in mass, is it? If you have a mass of substance here that you want to rise, and it rises, did it increase its weight or did it increase its mass? No, that's laws of physics that it can't. Instead, there's air that's been filled in there. And that's the difference between you get a nice fluffy slice of cake or a really flat cake. But the concept that Jesus is teaching here, and it's such that, I mean, very few raise their hand as far as knowing, and this generation here probably doesn't cook near the same amount, or the substances are already have these rising elements in the stuff that you bought at the store. I'm still from an old generation where I was taught to learn to cook. My parents didn't have any preference as far as whether it's my sisters or me. We learned how to cook, and I remember in elementary school learning to make chocolate chip cookies, which I loved to make anyway. But that's back in the days when you had to take that flour and sift it. It wasn't, and clean it up that way, and add the substances, and you put it in the mixer. It wasn't the stuff you just bought the little roll and cut it and sliced it up and cook it. You made it from scratch. Now, to understand this scripture right here and the significance of it, because this is a powerful scripture. First off, when Jesus talked about salt and light, who was he speaking to? There were no Christians at the time Jesus was speaking, were there? There were disciples. And that's on the Mount Beatitudes time period, the beginning of his ministry, and they were people that were following him. Is this parable different? Who's he speaking to?
People who followed him.
He's speaking to them, yes, but who is he? I mean, before we said the salt and the light are the people. He said, you are this. Does he say, you are leaven? Who is leaven? The kingdom of heaven is like leaven. Now, when Jesus talks about the kingdom, who is he talking about?
The church.
The church. That's not in existence yet. Right? At this point in time, the church is not in existence. And you find out throughout this chapter, he gives you example, parable after parable about the kingdom. Now, did his apostles understand what he was talking about? No, they still had no idea. They were still thinking this earthly kingdom. And we'll give another example. I'll show you something else here later on where he used leaven and they still didn't have a clue. It shows you how clueless they were. But Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was all leavened. Do you understand how powerful the impact of leaven is? What's the largest amount of bread any of you have ever made in using leaven or yeast? A couple loaves? 3 or 4 loaves? How much leaven or yeast do you have to put in for a single loaf of bread? Very small amount. Do you know how much this scripture is talking about here? I mean, if you equated the measure here to a cup, if you think that's what it's talking about, 3 cups of flour with leaven would make about 10 loaves of bread, according to some of the scripture I found, some of the references. But this is not talking cups. This is talking a measure, which if you go back, and 3 cups is about 3/4 of a pound of flour. Now, if you come to, let's say not 10 loaves, it'd be enough to feed 10 people bread. I'm not 10 loaves, but it'd be enough bread to feed 10 people if it was 3 cups. What Walter was saying there was leaven had been put into this dough. And it influenced the dough. It influenced all the dough. Enough so that she could take a piece of that out of that dough, put over to the side, and the next batch that she's putting together, she'll put that in it, and it would leaven that whole loaf. Leaven all that dough. The influence of leaven. And that's the concept that we're talking about here. We are to influence everything around us. Now, when you put leaven in dough, does the dough influence the leaven? No. The leaven influences the dough. Now, Jesus understood that the kingdom, his church, was going to be in a minority in the world. It was not going to be the majority. But understanding the concept of that minority needed to influence the majority. How do we know? Three measures, according to calculations of what it meant a measure was in that day, adds up to 40 pounds of flour, which is enough to feed 400 people. A little leaven was hidden, it says. She hid it in this meal until it was all leavened. We are to influence, but not be influenced. We are to be like leaven. And it's a silent force. I mean, do you see, when you put that in there, you don't see it working. You don't hear it working. Do you see trees grow? Only if you see it and then go away for a period of time and come back and see what changed. But you can't see it grow. You can't hear it grow. But there's something happening, is it? That's what leaven does. It's silent, but it's working constantly. Part of that, in the way that we influence, has been brought up. It has to do with, if we're leaven, if the kingdom, the church here, is the leaven in the world, how does the world see us? The scriptures talk about the concept of how we are to be, lead lives of humility, gentleness, and quietness. Will you lead those kind of lives? The scriptures tell us specifically, 1 Thessalonians 4:10. And indeed, you do so toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. Paul talking to the Thessalonians gave the same commandment in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. As leaven, we're to be a silent force out there. But we're to be, for that to happen, our influence has to show in some way, shape, or form, right? We have to be such that people will notice who we are and what kind of difference we can make. The great thing this quarter has been so far, and will continue after the seminar, we still have a couple more lessons to go in it, is each having up here different men teaching, giving different examples in their lives of how they have seen their Christian lives being able to influence others. And also hearing from different individuals in the comments that are made in class of opportunities that have been made to be that leaven, to be that example, that changing agent that affects everyone else. But the part about being silent and how we are to, as Dan has mentioned many times in here, not cram the Bible down somebody's throat, but to be different enough where people ask questions. Why are you different? You have the opportunity many times, not necessarily to always be the one to preach the gospel to somebody. A lot of times it might be just planting the seed, is it not? It's not our job to baptize people. We first have to do what?
Teach.
Paul talked about, don't give credit. Don't try to look at somebody who baptizes getting all the credit, because one person plants a seed, another one waters it, and another one baptizes. That's the influence. That was the leaven of three different individuals that brought a soul to Christ. Sometimes we take upon ourselves to feel like we have to do it all ourselves. And when we try to do it all ourselves, and generally we'll fail, we get discouraged. The influence we're to have is a constant. Is Christianity a three-service-a-week lifestyle? Or is it a 24/7? We need to put that in our heads. To be leaven, we have to be leaven 24/7. If you are leaven, you will leaven. You understand? You have to be leaven before you are going to be able to influence and make a difference. We have the opportunity. We don't have to force it down people's throats. How many of you have people that have ever come up to you and ask you why aren't you cursing? Why aren't you drinking? Just recently I had that kind of example asked to me. Visiting somebody I'd never met before and having a dinner with them. And he occasionally used some profanity. He had a glass of wine at the meal. He asked me why I wasn't drinking. I said, I choose not to drink. And after a while, he finds out I'm a Christian. So then he asked, okay, now I understand. That's why you don't use profanity. I said, now you ready to convert me? I said, no, if you have questions, I'll be glad to answer them, but no. And it was interesting, they're sitting through the rest of the meal, looking at this man as an intelligent man, but the looks he would give me, he didn't bring the subject up anymore, but it was kind of like, he's trying to put me in a specific little cubby, a pigeonhole. And he said, okay, all Christians are going to act this way. Because evidently he's been around some that's all they did. They tried to preach to him. They tried to force it down his throat. Now here's somebody who's acting different. And I wasn't trying to get a spotlight on me. I was just being who I am. But it made this man think. It's kind of like, he's a Christian, but he's not acting like every other Christian I've ever met. That's just something's different. Now I may not ever see this man again. I can pray that somebody else will come along. I went to a public high school in this county, grew up here in this county. That I knew of, the only Christians I knew in my high school were a couple people in the church that went to Palm Beach Lakes here. Interesting, 10 years later, when I meet and find out two other individuals that were not Christians at that time, became gospel preachers, and these were two people that I knew and had contact with. I never tried to preach. I was probably not as outgoing as some things. People knew I was a Christian. I didn't realize how many people knew I was a Christian in high school till the time I got sent to the dean. That story is a story I didn't tell my parents till a year after it happened. But I was disrespectful to a teacher more than once until finally she sent me out of the class and sent me to the dean. And this dean at the time was someone that I knew very well. He had been my 10th grade PE teacher. And he knew of me. He knew of me in the class. I didn't think he knew anything else of me. He made a statement to me that woke me up. I didn't get a paddling, even though that was acceptable back then. He looked at me and just said, Bill, do you think that was the Christian thing to do? This is public high school. You know, he could have just slapped me upside the head with that paddle, and it wouldn't have made as much impact as that one question did, because my head just dropped. I was not being leaven at that age, or I was being the wrong type of change agent. Leaven influences. The Bible talks about in Romans 12. We are to... what? Are we to conform to the world? We are to do what? Be transformed. We are to transform others. It's Romans 12:2. So we have that requirement We're to overcome the world. Are we to love the world? How many? Raise your hand if we're to love the world. Ooh, get those hands down. What happens if we love the world? The Father is not in us. Now, that the way I asked that question, remember, I didn't say, are we to love the people in this world? Then every hand should go up. But we are not to love this world. What is our... What's that? Or the things that are in the world. No, it says, do not love the world or the things that are in the world. Because if you do so, then God is not in you. So we have to understand we're in this world, but we're not supposed to love what we're in. But we're supposed to influence it. We're supposed to make a difference. We have to understand, and that's the hardest thing for many Christians to understand. They have the attitude, okay, I'm going to go out there and just get in the most sinful parts of the world and I'm going to change everybody. What generally happens in that? You get changed. God gave us His entire Bible for example, for our learning, for our admonition. What was God's attitude when He was sending His chosen people into the land of Canaan? What were they supposed to do? They were supposed to kill everybody in the land. They were not supposed to be in the same country as any of those godless, idol-worshipping individuals. And in many situations that they were to destroy and kill everybody in the land. That was God's command. Why? He knew, God knows the nature of man. He knows that you put a little bit of this idolatry out there and these people that are going to influence everybody else. Solomon was the what? Wisest man. He knew how, and it's interesting, it's hard to understand. How could somebody so wise be so stupid? Until you read the scripture, until I read the scripture more perfectly and understand what Solomon's request was to God. Did Solomon ask for just general wisdom? He asked for the wisdom to lead his people. He says, I don't know how to go in and go out. He said, God, give me the wisdom to lead these people. He's got to step in the shoes of David. And he was scared. So he asked for that wisdom. So evidently that wisdom didn't pertain to himself. Because Solomon with his wisdom built the largest kingdom that Israel had ever had. But Solomon was influenced by the world. Because he put himself in that position of marrying women outside of belief in God. So that he was influenced instead of being the one to influence others. The majority is going to be against us, and that's why this description of this parable is here. God, the Lord's kingdom here, the church, is a minority. You ever stop and feel that? Do you recognize it every day of your life? If you're in a working world and you're around a bunch of non-Christians, go to the grocery store, drive in on interstate. You're in a minority, are you not? If you're one of God's people, if you're part of His leaven. But what happened to that small bit of leaven on that 40 pounds of flour? It changed all of that meal. It didn't change just a part of it. It didn't go so far and say, okay, this is all I can do. I mean, you think chemistry, there's sometimes a chemical agent that will only go through and affect something to a certain degree, and then the chemical reaction stops. Well, leaven works in such a way, it will go through and influence everything. As Walter said, I mean, it'll influence it enough so that you can pull a piece of it off, and it's going to influence another batch. I mean, that's a great example of what the Lord's church is supposed to be. We're to leaven. We're to be a strong thing. And you take a piece of us and put it somewhere else and build another huge lump. That was the way the Lord's kingdom grew in the first century. How fast did that leaven work on the day of Pentecost? It worked fast that day, didn't it? How many souls? About 3,000 souls. And within a short period of time, another how many? 5,000. Now, do we try to compare ourselves to that day and age and feel like we should be having that kind of growth? Oh, it'd be great, wouldn't it, for the Lord's glory? That would be fantastic. But when he says, like leaven, does leaven work that fast? It's a slow process. You can't speed it up. You can't heat it up, try to make it go faster, or do something to make it. It's going to work at the step and at the process, but it's supposed to work, period. That's what we're supposed to do. It's not our job to control how fast it works. It's not our job. I mean, God gave us the job, the commandment, the great commission, to go out into all the world teaching the gospel and then baptizing them. The ideas of knowing that it works constantly is that it doesn't quit. If we're to be leavened, we can't quit. We can't give up. On what day are we allowed to give up? When we die, or the Lord comes back, one of the two. That's our day of rest right there. There's no age that says, okay, you've been faithful up to this age, you can relax now. Just as we said, leaven doesn't ever stop working. We can't. It's not like, okay, I'm going to take a day off of being a Christian today. I'm just going to relax and be like all my friends. I'm just kind of exhausted. Then you stopped being leaven on that day. Now, the influences of leaven. Jesus used this same concept of leaven in a reverse sense. Turn to, again, Matthew chapter 16. Remember in the parable, he said the church is to be leaven. And they understand that. They understood that. We're to influence and how we're supposed to be a positive influence to others. In Matthew 16, starting with verse 6. And Jesus said unto them, who's he talking to? Disciples. Teaching time, private lessons here. Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Do you think his disciples understood what he was talking about? From their response, they were clueless. He's saying leaven. That means bread. Either it was lunchtime and they hadn't eaten yet. Had Jesus done anything with bread before? Had Jesus done any miracles with bread? Oh, yeah. Talks about them. Verse 8, which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason you among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? It's kind of like slap them upside the head. Hey, quit thinking about food. This is spiritual food I'm giving you. Think. The leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. What kind of leaven would the Pharisees and the Sadducees have had upon first century church? Positive or negative?
They would have enforced the law of Moses.
They would have taken, as they did, as we see, because we have this all complete scripture to see, they were trying, some of the Jewish Christians were trying to take Jewish law and make it a part of Christianity, which was not what God commanded, and it wasn't the example that Jesus gave. So they, Jesus is warning them, even during his lifetime, beware of the leaven. Why? Because Jesus understood that that thought process could spread, could multiply within them and have a negative effect. Paul used the concept of leaven twice in two of his letters. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5. In this context, to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. What's the context? What's Jesus? What's Paul talking about here? The what? And specifically, when we're talking about taking a little leaven is bad, go back to verse 6. What's he bringing? To deliver such a one unto Satan. In this scripture, as we've heard read many times, when we are forced to withdraw fellowship from one of our brothers and sisters for walking untowardly. The commandment is to stand fast, because the influence of an ungodly person within the Lord's church can be like what? It can be like leaven. We have to protect ourselves as the Lord's body here, as this family here, so that we are not influenced by false teaching, that we do not allow something to come in and create an environment of leaven within this lump. He says in here, because if you find this little bit of bad leaven here, what do you have to do with it? You've got to purge it out. Is there any way to purge it out? You know, we have the example of being able to take it out of here and then become a new lump that does not have that bad leaven in it. And then one final example. Galatians 5:1. Paul writing to the Galatians, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. That if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Why did ye hinder? Who did hinder you so that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. This biblical teaching by Jesus and Paul, this physical concept of understanding leaven, if you don't understand how it works, how can you be expected to understand the Scripture? I mean, if you just skate over that, and back in Matthew when the parable is given there, if you skate over that real quick, okay, you're to be like leaven. All right, kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven. When a woman took it and put it into three measures. Skim over that, okay, leaven, all right, fine. Leaven affects it, makes bread, okay. If you don't understand the positive and the potential negative effects of it and apply it, It's one thing to understand it. That's fine. I can understand the chemical reaction and how it works and so forth. But God gave us this. Again, parable. Earthly story with a heavenly meaning. That's where we have to apply this. There's a spiritual concept here. We better grasp and put in our hearts and understand the influence that we need to be to others. Not like the false teachers. We are not to be like the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. We're to be the leaven that affects everyone around us in a positive manner. There are so many different aspects to leaven as the scriptures we're going through and talking about here in this study. It works from without, from within to without. You think about this lump of measure, this meal and so forth. And if you just put the leaven on top of it, what happens? It may eventually, but it's going to take a lot longer. What did Jesus say that the woman did? She hid it inside of it. It has to be within. It made that difference by being within the meal and influenced out. Being on the outside looking at the lump, I can be a piece of leaven and just looking at that lump over there. Am I going to influence that lump? Not a bit. We can go throughout our everyday lives and looking at people in the world. See, they're lost. Oh, yeah, that one over there is lost. Are we leaven? Remember I said, you have to be leaven in order to leaven. Now, to be leaven and be sitting outside and it's not fulfilling the use that it is made for, what good is that leaven? Is it any different than the example he gave, the salt that's lost its savor? What good is it for? Be tossed out on the roadside. What good is a light if you don't turn it on? How many of you have been in places where it's total darkness? If you've ever been to Mammoth Caves up in Kentucky, and they always make an example of that. And that's the only time I've really been in so much complete. It was, you could feel the darkness. When they turned, you got it down that cave and they turned every light off in there. I mean, when you can do this in front of your face and see nothing, no movement, nothing. And what would it take for someone to light one match in that huge cave? What effect would it have on everybody's eyes all of a sudden? Spread, right? It would provide, that's what we're to be. The leaven, as it is the whole lump, as the salt influences what it, as the light influences the world. These biblical teachings, these lessons that Jesus gave us, they're great in understanding and concept. Yes, but we have to apply them. We have to put them to use. All this quarter is the teaching of our influence and how we influence others and ways we can influence others and the type of influence we're supposed to be. Jesus gave us physical examples in order to make it easier for us to understand. So the fact it's easy to understand isn't going to help a bit unless we use it. Unless we use and understand everything he gave us here to study. Leaven multiplies. It's contagious. The early church multiplied. We talked about that. The fact of just a little bit of it can add its qualities to a greater degree. It makes it more palatable. You think about the leaven and how it affects bread and how it makes it taste and how texture makes it more enjoyable than that without leaven. Think of this influence. Think of all these examples. Think of the way we can influence the the world, but not be the world. We're to live in the world, but we're not to love it. We're not to put ourselves in positions of, I mean, God has said He will not allow us to be tempted beyond that which we can endure. He will provide us a way out. Sometimes we like to, I think Christians like to push God in that area. Okay, I'm going to see how close I can get to temptation. There's this cliff over here. How close can I get to that without falling off? What kind of influence are you being? I mean, the greatest concept of understanding your responsibilities as Christians, to me, I mean, is the thought process. Everybody looks to see the legalities of the Scripture. What's right? What's wrong? When so many of those areas that there's not a specific, you can't do this or don't do this, but there's the concept of the kind of influence that we can be in that, what effects do our lives have not only on the world, but within our own family? Do we, this family here at Palm Beach Lakes, what kind of influence are we having here? Are we influencing in the proper way? Are we being the right kind of leaven? We're not if we're causing some other brother or sister to stumble. Be like leaven, His kingdom. Thank you very much for the class.